You're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on KOAL 107.3 FM at 7:50 a.m.
It's another day and another day filled of NFL and college football talk. All kinds of storylines popping up. Earlier today, we found out that the New York Giants are finalizing a deal with John Harbaugh to be their next head coach. That's an interesting storyline to get into. And a lot of coaching changes and a lot of portal news as far as college football is concerned. And with all that, we haven't even gotten to the national championship yet. Oh, and by the way, we have the divisional round of the NFL playoffs popping up this weekend. So yes, if you are a fan of the game of football, there's a lot to be excited about at this particular moment. Joining us right now over the phone to have these conversations and to talk about the world of football, we have a great friend of mine, Steve Bordstein. Steve, I always look forward to the conversations. Typically, you and I are we're talking something along the lines of baseball, but it's football time, and like I said, right now the headlines are just writing themselves.
Now, well, baseball, we have time. We have plenty of time to get into baseball, but you're right. It is a fun time if you're a football fan. It's a fun time for the college game because I think we're going to see something that we've never seen before and a very, very new national champion. So we'll talk about that, and there's plenty going on in the NFL as well.
I think we have to start by talking about the national championship game because, again, it seems like it's been buried, and I think a lot of that has to do with the NCAA and the spacing of this game. It was Friday, January 9th, when Indiana obliterated Oregon 56-22 and really sent Dante Moore out of the NFL draft and back to college football for another year. It was Thursday, January 8th, when Miami pulled off a thrilling victory over Ole Miss 31-27. Here we are January 15th, and we are still 4 days away from the national championship. I'm not a fan of the timing. I think it does take away a little bit of the momentum, especially when you have the NFL in full swing, which is obviously king here in the country.
Yeah, I mean, the college football, the whole playoff scenario, you know, with the spacing between the games, and I don't like the fact that I'm an old-school traditionalist. I don't like the idea that the Rose Bowl is just a quarterfinal game. I don't like the fact that the Fiesta Bowl is a semifinal game. The bowl games used to be meaningful. They used to have some meaning, and now it just seems they're just, another chapter in a long story, which that irks me, but that's another story for another time. But as far as the Oregon game is concerned, I think that this was absolutely the right move for Dante Moore. Nothing made it more obvious he was not ready for the National Football League than what we saw in that blowout against Indiana. This was totally the right call for Dylan Moore to stay in the NFL, if for no other reason other than the fact that had he decided to go into the NFL draft, he was going to get taken by the New York Jets. And nobody should have to go through that.
Yeah, I mean, that puts you in a no-win situation, right? We've seen this time and time again. Although there's different personnel in the front office and a new general manager and a second-year head coach. Yeah, I mean, it's not a great spot to be in. And we've talked about the New York Jets. Boy, they can't even lose correctly. What do you do with the number two pick? But Steve, your perspective now as we get to the national championship, it's year two of this 12-team playoff. Outside of the traditional things that you just mentioned, I hate the fact that a team can win the Cotton Bowl and the Sugar Bowl in the same year. That's weird to me, right? Outside of that, are you a fan of the 12-team playoff? Do we need expansion, or is it just right the way we have it right now?
I'd have preferred contraction. I don't think you need 12. You know, I don't. I know why they do it, because the top four teams get the bye week, whatever. But I'm not a fan of the whole playoff scenario to begin with. But I don't think it needs to be expanded, because let's be honest, we all know how this works. You can expand it to 16, then Team 17 is going to complain. You can expand it to 24, Team 25 is going to complain. There's always going to be someone who's going to have a gripe. There's always going to be someone with a complaint. Look, I mean, I'll ask you. You know, shouldn't Notre Dame be in this? Since it's Miami, the team that everyone kind of rolled their eyes at when they got into the college football playoff ahead of Notre Dame, I'll ask you, How do you feel about Miami being in the national championship game?
My problem was never with Miami. My problem was with Alabama.
Right.
So during the whole thing, now, I had a problem with the process of Miami getting in. I had a major problem with it. I had a problem with a team being behind a team. I don't care if they beat them or not week one. They were behind them for 5 weeks. They were behind them as both went into a bye week, and all of a sudden the committee decided that they were better sitting on the couch. I had a problem with the process, but I never had a problem with Miami getting in. It was always Alabama. And I can kind of use this as to what you were talking about a moment ago. Yeah, if you go to a 16-team playoff, Team 17 is going to complain. 24-team playoff, Team 25 is going to complain. I want to make this perfectly clear. The only reason there was expansion talks is because the SEC and the Big Ten see the dollar amounts that are being thrown out to representatives that have zero chance of winning a national championship, such as Alabama. And if the SEC can get five in a 12-team playoff, when two, probably shouldn't have been there to begin with in Oklahoma and Alabama, how many undeserving teams and paychecks will they get if we expand to 16, Steve?
Right, no, it's a very valid point. And I mean, look, it gets watered down. I think I think there's a scheduling problem with the amount of time between the games. You mentioned the time between the two semifinal games and this one. Yes, you're dealing with conflicts with the NFL, but at the same time, if we're going to build this as some sort of mega event, then treat it like a mega event. And I don't think this is being treated like a mega event. And I think part of that is, and I hate to say this, is Indiana. I think that's part of the problem. Not that they don't deserve to be here, but let's be honest, going into the regular season, I can sit here and count on one finger the amount of people who actually thought that Indiana was going to play for a national championship at any point in time. So I think there's a marketing problem here. I think there's a scheduling problem here. And at some point in time, the NCAA or whoever's in charge of all this, i.e. the networks, need to come up with a better formula as to when to play these games.
Yeah, because I think, you know, you go back to last year, you had Notre Dame and Ohio State. Those are two college football blue bloods. I don't think it could have worked out better for the NCAA. And you're right. I mean, Indiana and even Miami, now they're becoming popular, I think, for all the wrong reasons. Once again, we have Michael Irvin on all four barking like a dog on the sidelines. And for some reason, people find that entertaining and cute. But even if you go back to last year with two blue bloods in the national championship, I felt like it lost momentum based off of the idea of getting 10, 11 days off, because in between those 10 and 11 days, do you realize we will have the wild card round of the NFL and the divisional round? That's what we get in between the semifinals and the national championship. That's crazy to think about.
And I mean, how many have we heard the story also last year, the top four teams that had the bye week, then came back to play in the quarterfinals, they all lost. This year, three of the four teams that had the week off and then came back and played in the quarterfinals all lost. The only team that didn't lose was Indiana.
Yeah, because they played Alabama and they had no business being there.
Okay, so, but they still had anywhere between 28 to 29 days between games.
Yeah.
That's a month.
Yeah.
That's a month between games. Now, I get it. We had that same situation sometimes when we had the old bowl system, right? The college football season would end first week in December. You didn't play the Rose Bowl till January 1. But that was your only game.
That's right.
You didn't have to wait 29 days and then play three games to get to the national championship. You had 29 days to play for one. Here, you're telling these kids to take 3 weeks off and then come back and prepare to play three, if not four, games. That just seems counterintuitive to what this is all about. I would say eliminate the gap between the first round game and the second round games. Play, and I get it. We don't want to confuse people, because people are easily confused. Apparently, we don't want to confuse people and play these first round games early. But if given the choice between watching a first round playoff game and watching the, I don't know, rate.com bowl that I never heard of before, or the New Mexico Bowl, I would just as soon watch the first round games.
Well, my question is, why do we have to have any time off in between the season and the postseason in general? Why? Well, because it doesn't make any sense. And we can go back and take a look at March Madness, which, again, I feel like I'm just going to sit here and complain all day. But March Madness, to me, is the worst way to crown a national champion. Hey, we have Selection Sunday, and then, Steve, we're at it on Thursday, right? So if we're talking about football a week after the conference championship games, knowing that we have the early National Signing Day period and we have the transfer portal opening up right dead in the center of the college football playoffs, everything needs to be moved up. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, I completely agree. I think you got to move these things up. Therefore, you don't. That way, you don't have the awkwardness, which I loved, by the way, of the Lane Kiffin situation. You know, you don't have the awkwardness of the transfer portal. You don't have all these things. You can just get it over with. Get the playoffs started the week after. I don't know. You can even take a week off after the Army Navy game, right? Mm-hmm. You leave that tradition alone the way it is, a separate game from everything else. But otherwise, then just get into the playoffs. Then you can decide everything by the first week in January. We're not having these conversations on the 20th. We're having these conversations on the 19th of January. Doesn't sound like much, but it is a big deal when you're competing with the NFL.
Not only are you competing with the NFL, but let me throw this out there as well. And I love college football. You and I have known each other for a very long time. You know this. I love the sport. It is essentially 6 months long now.
Yeah. Yeah, with the first games of the season happening in August, and you know, then you've got this 29-day gap for some teams. You know, it's insane that we have to wait this long for a season that is already way too long to begin with. Because I can only think of one or two other sports, and those are both professional sports, that are played with that long a duration in the calendar. Major League Baseball starts in April, ends in October. Sometimes it starts in late March. You've got the National Football League. They start in August. They end in February. You know, I mean, it's getting to be too long. There's getting to be too much time between games. And the scheduling conflict, I don't know if it's an academic thing where they have to have time off for their academics, but I'll be honest with you, I don't think 90% of these players could give a rat's ass about the academics as opposed to playing in college football. They don't even care about the schools they're playing for. A lot of these kids were deciding the day after the regular season's over to jump ship to go play for another school.
No, it's true. And yesterday I was watching Marcus Freeman's presser, and he talked about the spring game. And I thought, man, we're already talking about the spring game? Well, yeah, it's in 2 months.
Yeah, I know. That's the thing. We're talking about a spring game in March now. I mean, when do these coaches get a break? And you know, when do these players get a break? When do these schools get a break? And you know, when do we as fans get to say, okay, enough's enough? We need a little, you know, we need some time to, you know, process all of this, or at least get it over with in a more timely fashion.
Yeah, yeah. Steve, before we stop talking college football, Miami, Indiana, who do you like in the national championship game?
Unless Miami has some great defensive mechanism that I haven't seen yet to slow down Mendoza, I don't see any way Miami wins this game. I don't know if it's going to be a blowout. I don't even know what the definition of a blowout is anymore. I don't expect it to be Indiana-Oregon-like blowout, but I don't think this is much of a contest. If Indiana can establish the passing game and get up 14 on them, Miami doesn't have the weapons offensively or defensively to keep up with Indiana. I just don't think this is much of a contest. I think Indiana wins by 2 touchdowns at least.
I think Miami's got a very powerful defensive front, and I think that's where they're going to have to win this game. I don't know if they can slow it down. I mean, you look at what Indiana can do on the ground. I'm a huge fan of just running the football when we get to this stage in the season. I think it translates very, very well. Defensively, they're going to have to make a couple of plays. And I'll tell you the other thing, when we look at Miami's offense, there have been times in this playoff where Carson Beck has been able to sit flat foot in the pocket and pick his spots. That's not happening in this game against Indiana. So right now it's an 8.5-point line, Indiana favorite. I think they win. And right now, if I had to pick, I would say they cover the spread. I do want to give Miami kudos, though. It has to be, they have to be the only team in the country that just by watching them win in the playoffs could actually force me to root for an SEC team. So I tip my hat to him.
And I do like the fact that, and again, you mentioned it a moment ago, like we're old school college football fans.
Yeah.
I like the fact that Miami is in this game.
I do too.
I may not like the team. I may not like the old personnel. I may not like some of the storylines. But I like the fact that Indiana, kind of a traditional blue blood team that you and I grew up watching, I like the fact that they're there. I may not like the team itself this weekend, but I do like the fact that they're in the championship and in the discussion.
I mean, there's issue. I'm not a big Mario Cristobal fan. I never really have been. But it's the antics surrounding Miami. And this is where it's a throwback to where it once was, right? Because I don't think at any point in time during Miami's heyday, you could look at them and you either loved the antics or you hated the antics. They were polarizing, right? The biggest problem I have right now is what we saw in the game, the Fiesta Bowl against Ole Miss. Patrick Willis is representing Ole Miss. Eli Manning is representing Ole Miss. Patrick Willis walks out, conducts himself like an alumni, right? Like an adult. And then we see Michael Irvin. And then we see Ray Lewis. And it is so unlikable. They have become mascots in their old age, while Eli Manning sits up at a booth and watches the game wearing a quarter zip. Michael Irvin is barking like a dog at the opposition, taking his belt off and whacking garbage cans with it, while Ray Lewis is dressed up like a pimp on the sideline. They're very unlikable.
No, I understand it, but let me throw this to you. I agree with you about the antics, but what did you expect?
Oh, no, no. I'm saying, this is the same reason I was not a Miami fan back in their heyday.
Right.
Right? And I think it's good for college football. Like, people can hear that and say, well, I'm negative. I hate Miami. It's sour grapes. No, it's not. They are polarizing. And they were once very polarizing. And I think for, younger generations, they're unaware of what Miami once was. And they are on the brink of becoming that again. And it's great for college football. It's just not my cup of tea.
No, I get it. And I think, I think this would have been a great week to have watched convicts versus Catholics, right?
Yeah.
On ESPN, that old 30 for 30 special. This would have been a great time to go back and run back some old highlights of the U. That's what this team has been and always was. And that's part of the fun of what Miami used to be. And it was fun to hate them. And it was fun to watch the Miami versus Florida State games. It was fun to watch Miami versus Notre Dame. It was fun to watch those games just to see the antics of what they were going to do next. So I agree that it's off-putting. I get it. But it's refreshing to me that you do get a little of that old school mentality, because for far too long we've been spoiled, for lack of a better term, by the well-oiled machine with no emotion whatsoever of Alabama. So we get to see a little bit of the crazy, and I don't mind that so much.
But you don't think that crazy is enough for them to win the national championship?
Oh, they would have to literally, they'd have to dig some guys out of the grave for that kind of crazy to be effective against Indiana this weekend. No, I don't think it's going to be enough. I think it'll be fun to watch, but I would love to see the shot of Michael Irvin late third quarter when they're down 20.
Yeah,
I would too. Because I guarantee you the antics aren't going to be the same.
You mean he's not going to be pulling his belt off and hitting garbage cans and what's he doing? Winding that crank and barking and it's weird, isn't it?
Yeah, I know it is weird. It is weird. So I hope that ESPN's prepared to show Michael Irvin be a little bit contrite and deal with some sad people on the Miami sideline when they're getting beat by four. They're getting beat double digits early in the fourth quarter.
Steve Bordstein again taking out the time to join us. Steve, I did want to get your perspective on a couple of NFL topics. I know we're running a little long, but your thoughts on John Harbaugh going to the New York Giants. I think it's interesting, right? I think the NFC East got significantly better, and I think the fact that Harbaugh pretty much had his pick of any job out there, and he elected to go to New York, I think it's telling about the current quarterback situation in the NFL. Your thoughts?
I think it's... I'm not surprised he wound up going to Baltimore. I mean, seriously, I don't think it's surprising he got fired by Baltimore. I don't think it's surprising he goes to the Giants. I think there was a. I think there might have been a discussion, kind of a la Eli Peyton Manning about keeping the two brothers in separate conferences with Jim of the Chargers and keeping him away from the AFC. I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised if that conversation took place. Look, the Giants are a team that's going to get better. They're going to get better in a hurry for a number of reasons. They got young players, they got talented young players, and now they've got a coach who actually knows what he's doing. They got a front office that will probably let him be more of that vocal leader that they need, that they so desperately needed. Anything to keep the Dallas Cowboys, you know, in check for another 5 or 6 years is a blessing for me. So the fact that he goes to the Giants is fantastic. Just so I can watch the Cowboys get out-coached twice a year. So I like the move. I do like the move. I was surprised that he didn't maybe put himself out there. Maybe this goes to that topic of keeping them out of the same conference, same division even, with him going to the Raiders. Because it was when I heard Harbaugh's name, it made perfect sense to me for him to negotiate with the Raiders. Number one pick in the draft, Tom Brady, the relationship there probably with him and Harbaugh. I could have seen that be the absolute perfect fit, but they would have been in the same division with his brother. So maybe that kept that topic from ever happening. But I like the move to the Giants.
I'll get your thoughts on the four games. We'll go through this quick. Buffalo at Denver. Who do you like on Saturday?
God. I know Denver's defense is stout, and I know Denver's offense is at times very good. I just have to believe that Josh Allen has enough to beat this team on the road. I like Denver's defense so much. I just like Josh Allen and what he can do offensively a little bit more. I think Buffalo wins and moves on.
Okay, after that we get San Francisco and Seattle.
I'm gonna go Seattle. I think Seattle's got the 12th man. I think Seattle's healthier. I think the loss of George Kittle, for as much as they have other weapons, I think Seattle's got a few more. I think Seattle wins and moves on.
Houston at New England on Sunday.
I love Houston.
I do too. I do too.
Absolutely love the Houston Texans. This is a defense that we haven't seen in the NFL for a very long time. I would love to see New England get through just because it causes conflict for fans of the NFL who hated the New England Patriots because of Tom Brady, and now you get a whole new franchise. And let's just also express really quick, I know we'll get to the game. How great a job New England Patriots management has done, whether it's Bob Kraft, whether it's anyone in the front office, of reinventing the New England Patriots to a power team again just a couple of years after losing Brady and Belichick.
How amazing is that
storyline in New England?
And in such quick fashion with Drake May,
yes.
Right?
Yes. I mean, that is unheard of, especially in the National Football League. But as far as this weekend goes, I love Houston. I've been talking about them for months now. I think Houston wins and moves on.
And then the nightcap Sunday night, it's going to be frigid. Might be negative temperature. Who do you like, Rams, Bears?
I love the Bears in this game. I do. I love this Bears defense. I think Caleb Williams is finally starting to figure it out. I think it's been a long process for him. The weather couldn't be better for. It's going to be cold for both teams. They're both going to be affected by it. Chicago's more used to it. I like the Bears to win and move on.
My goodness, could you imagine if we get the Chicago Bears and the Seattle Seahawks in the NFC Championship? That's why people love the NFL, right? Parity. It's a week-to-week league. It's a year-to-year league. And we are seeing it right now. It's unfortunate that one of the Patriots or the Texans have to go out this Sunday if that's what you're into.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I feel bad for, I think New England's window is still very wide open. I think Houston's window is wide open. I think Denver's window is wide open. That's the beauty of the playoffs for a lot of these teams. And it's great that we get to see younger quarterbacks kind of in the spotlight right now. I know a lot of people, you know, oh, we missed Mahomes, we missed, you know, Burrow, whatever. I love the fact that we're seeing a plethora of new quarterbacks who are getting their chance to be in the national spotlight these weeks.
He is Steve Bordstein, always kind enough to take the time out to join us. Steve, before I let you go, where can we find more of you?
check me out. You can check out my work covering sports at TriCityRecordNM.com, covering a variety of topics from high school, college sports, all the way up to horse racing and other things there. You can check out our website at TriCityRecordNM.com. Follow me on Facebook at Sports with Steve Portstein.
Steve, it's always a pleasure to get you on. I appreciate the time.
I appreciate you, sir. We'll talk soon.
And with that, we are out of time on this edition of Drive Time Sports. We'll be back to do it again tomorrow, same time, same place. I want to thank Steve Bordstein for taking out the time to join us. I will see you tomorrow. Be safe. I am out.